I just moved in with my son, and it ain't working. There's a lot of tension between us. I guess I didn't see he had a whole new life plan for himself, and I kind of got in the way.
And do you have someone in your life who feels that way, that maybe an elderly parent moved back in with you, or maybe your kids moved back in with you, and you just feel like things aren't working out? Maybe you're the elderly parent or the child that moved back in, and you feel like you're an intruder in the house, and you realize that you weren't in the plans. Or maybe you're the person who has that other person move back in, and you feel like, oh, it'll work. I can let my sister back in, or my mom or dad back in, or my kids back in, the boomerang kids. And you look forward to it, and when the reality sets in, you just say, this isn't working out. There's more stress between us than I ever thought. How do you work things out together? That's from Fraser, and I am Dr. Ellen Kenner, and I'm a clinical psychologist, and that's what we talk about on this show. How do you deal with the problems in your everyday life, with your kids, with your family, with your boss, with yourself? Are you frustrated with yourself? And of course, in romance. And right now, I want to turn to the phones and welcome Tara. Tara, you're wondering where you're going with your boyfriend?
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, he's 56. I'm 42. He was never married. I was married and lost my husband.
Oh.
Maybe a year and a half ago, and I had a wonderful relationship with him, and I think I have a wonderful relationship with my boyfriend, but when we first started dating, he told me that he never wanted to get married, and he was never going to move in with anybody, and he was never going to do anything commitment-wise, and I don't know what to do. He tells me he loves me, and if we go away, he says he'll miss me or whatever, and I don't know where this is heading. I mean, I feel I have enough love to share with someone else, and I'd like to spend my life with someone. I'm tired of being alone.
Okay, so I can feel the pain. I can feel that you're wanting a committed relationship, one like you had before with your husband, and
right.
it would be unique. It wouldn't be that the same relationship, obviously. And
right.
You know what that feels like, and you know that's possible, and you think that your current boyfriend's a good candidate for that.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, he's got his own personal story. I mean, at the age of 56, never married,
mm-hmm.
he has. He has his own reasons for that. And the question is, do you know his story?
He's had bad relationships, and he works all the time. He works split shift and everything, so I don't know if that's it.
Yeah.
And he's just, I guess, I asked him one time, I said, were you ever engaged? He said, no, I just never found the right person, so...
Okay, so then if that were the case, I would feel, if I were in your shoes, I would think, well, you mean I'm not the right person?
Right.
You know, it just, if he said, I never want to marry because, you know, my parents went through a difficult time and I just promised myself I would never do that, that's one thing. Another option that you know you have, but it may not sit well with you, is that you can have a partnership. I mean, many people, I know one couple that I was always sending Mr. and Mrs. so-and-so on their Christmas cards every year. I always thought they were married. And then one year they pulled me aside just very sweetly and they said,
mm-hmm.
You know, we never married. We're partners. We live together. And it feels like a commitment. It doesn't feel like. It feels like what people call a marriage. But we never wanted all of the baggage that comes with marriage. A lot of people get married and it doesn't work out. So we wanted to have the relationship minus that label because it brought such baggage into it. So if that were his story, then it's almost the equivalent of being married for him, not for you.
Right.
But if he did say he never, the right person never came along, there's a little more splaining to do in that corner.
Right.
Your thoughts, what are you thinking that you want to do?
I don't know if I ever, I mean, if he would ask, I probably would say yes, because I swore I would never find any, I would never date anybody after my husband passed. I mean,
well, those nevers,
huh? We were connected at the hips. We had a wonderful 18 years of marriage. I mean, it was out of this world. And
yeah.
He came into my life, and I couldn't believe it. And I told him when we first started dating that when we first started seeing each other that I didn't want to get married. I didn't want nothing really committed. And the more I'm with him, the more I realize, wow, I really like him, and I'm in love with him, and I enjoy being with him, and I miss him when I'm not with him, and I realize I don't like being alone, and he says he misses me, and he loves me and everything, but he just doesn't want to get married. Like you said, I would be content with being engaged for the rest of our lives and never getting married, but I don't even think he even wants to live together. I think he's content with me just being a neighbor lady.
A neighbor lady?
Yes, I live diagonally across the street.
Oh, okay. I'd never heard that term before.
Yeah, he calls me the neighbor lady.
Okay, how long have you dated?
We're together a little over 8 months.
Okay, so it's still really early on.
Right.
You know, here I'm going to sound a little odd, but it's always good to know a person longer than that. And you bring in all of your rich history of having had a good relationship, and you really need to keep your eyes open. And if there are, you said the never, that you would never, you're just opening up to the possibility that this will work out, but there is a relationship breaker, and the relationship, potential relationship breaker, is that he's not moving in the same direction that you are. You want to move toward marriage, and he likes you as the neighbor lady.
Right.
And you, if you're not willing to, if you're not interested in just being the neighbor lady, I don't know if that's a term of endearment. Maybe it is. My husband calls me some terms that I think he calls me wench occasionally, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So sometimes one term for one woman or another woman might hate it. But if you love neighbor lady, that's one thing. If you feel that you don't love that and you want something that has a different feel to it that would fit your needs differently,
right,
then that's another thing. So let me recommend, I wrote a book with Dr. Ed Locke,
okay,
and it's about how to keep yourself, how not to lose yourself in a relationship, and it's really about romance from soup to nuts. How do you make yourself lovable? It sounds like you've already done that because you've had so much good success, Tara, in your first marriage, with your marriage with your hubby. The second part is we talk about how do you find the right person for you and how do you know that they're the right one? Well, you never have 100% certainty. Even when I married my hubby, I said to myself on my wedding day, if it doesn't work out, you can get divorced, Alan, and we've been married almost 4 years.
Wow.
Happily. So you need to give yourself permission that you can't know for certain what anyone's character. People can change, people can grow in different directions, or they can grow closer too.
Right.
So we talk about how to choose your soulmate, and that's the stage that you're in now, and you come with a rich history, a good history.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to really look at him and explore any emotions as you're doing that are not fitting, such as, why doesn't he want a little more commitment? I think there are more stories behind it for you to discover. You know, you've only known each other 8 months, but go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, it sounded like you were about to say something.
Nope.
Okay.
No, I wasn't.
So 8 months is not a long time. You know,
so
people.
I'm kind of rushing it.
Oh. Yeah, I think you need to see him under a lot of different circumstances with different, you know, in stressful situations, in relaxed situations. What type of vacations do you both like? What interests do you have? Where might you clash? What's your view on money? What habits do you have? What's your view on fitness and health? And the most fundamental values. Is he honest? Does he have any hidden or skeletons in the closet? Hopefully he doesn't have a one, but, you know, was there any gambling? Is there any drinking? Or is there anything that you raised a little eyebrow with, but in the heat of passion, you pull the eyebrow back down? You want to explore all of that. And that's just to keep your eyes open, because this isn't another, hopefully, lifetime choice for you.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be. You know, as I said, if it doesn't work out, you can part ways. And we talk about that in a book. Let me give you the name of the book.
Oh,
it's
yes, please.
It's got a title, The Selfish Path to Romance. It's a hard title to forget. And we basically mean self-esteem, self-valuing, not the mean, rotten way to romance. The Selfish Path to Romance, How to Love with Passion and Reason. And it's got little exercises at the end of all. We've got short chapters and exercises. So you could do the exercises in a couple of chapters on how to choose a soulmate. And I think it will inform you more deeply. to help you make the decision. Listen, thank you so much for the call, Tara. I appreciate
it. Thank you. And now I can get this at any bookstore, right?
You can go to Amazon. That's the cheapest.
Amazon,
some bookstores,
okay.
I've walked into one in L.A. I found it. I found one in Florida. But the best is just the cheapest route is to go to Amazon.com.
Okay.
So listen, thank you so much for your call.
Oh, thank you so much, too.
You're welcome.
You helped me a lot here.
Oh, thank you.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Here's another reason why the view that sexual pleasure is only physical, unrelated to your mind, your values, or your character, is very wrong. If sex were purely physical, it wouldn't matter how you viewed yourself as a person. But to fully enjoy sex, you must feel worthy of sexual pleasure. A person who feels selfless or who feels self-contempt will not get the same pleasure from sex as one who feels worthy and has high self-esteem. A man or woman who uses sexual conquest as a substitute for self-esteem soon finds that sex only hides their anxiety and self-doubt for a short time. Sex cannot fill the void caused by a lack of self-value. It can only express the self-value that you already have.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.